famous actor crawls out of the limousine, and all the cameras are there snapping photos. All the crowds are lined up as they walk their way into the premiere of the movie that they're about ready to launch. The same thing could be true of 9/11. You know the importance of an event by the people who are drawn there. When 9/11 happened in our own country, there was an incredibly huge amount of interest, not only in our nation, but around the world. News organizations from the world covered it all over because of the incredible importance of the event. So you know the importance of an event by the attention that it draws. But sadly, in the Bible, the most important events of history have drawn but scanty attention from men. But though men may not be interested in these events, heaven literally explodes with interest and activity. This is the way it was with the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the King of Kings was born in an obscure little town, there was no media covering the event. There were no reporters, no cameras, no throngs of dignitaries there to celebrate the arrival of the newborn king. Instead, for the most part, the earth was silent, totally unaware of this incredible event that passed under the radar of human interest. No one cared. No one was there to speak of. And it passed totally by without the world paying any attention at all to it. But heaven paid attention. Heaven brought about the most incredible event that had happened in human history up to that point in time. What we see in the scriptures, the narrative accounts of the birth of Christ, is something quite remarkable. They all basically comprise heaven's baby announcements. As the Prince of Glory entered the world, he arrived as the most important baby that has ever lived. He was both and is both God and man, the only Savior for lost sinners. And though the world of men was for the most part oblivious to this incredible birth, heaven itself burst forth with majestic displays of praise and glory. These baby announcements, if you will occur right before his birth, right after his birth, and they will set forth the character of this baby, the name of this baby, his glory, and his mission in life. And the announcements will be absolutely breathtaking, for the child is born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what I want us to do this morning, though the world showed no interest in the birth of our Savior, obviously heaven does. And I want us to look this morning at a variety of the baby announcements sent down from heaven that shows us the real importance of the event. For what man despises, God exalts. And so we'll be looking at the baby announcements for the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in Scripture. The first baby announcement is none other than the fulfillment of prophecy. Today, if you get a baby announcement in the mail, it'll be probably a card with the full name of the child on it, maybe his length, his weight, and all these little details that are so fun to learn about the child. Well, there weren't any of those kinds of things sent out when Jesus was born, but actually there were prophetic cards that were written down hundreds, even thousands of years before Christ was born. You see, the Holy Spirit led the prophets of old to make hundreds of prophecies about the life and ministry of the coming Messiah, and a number of them dealt specifically with his birth. But once those prophecies were uttered by Micah and Isaiah and many of the other prophets of old, those prophecies fell asleep for hundreds of years, even thousands of years, until at the fullness of time, God began to awaken the spirit and the message of those prophetic utterances. He began to wake them up one by one, and these prophecies began to stir and come alive and take on human flesh and blood. So the very first announcements, the baby announcements of the coming of Christ, were actually uttered hundreds of years before the Lord was born, but they began to be fulfilled in the actual birth of our Savior. If you're in Matthew chapter 1, let's look at a few of these baby announcements that comprise some of the prophecies dealing with His birth. As you remember in chapter 1, starting in verse 18, as we read a few moments ago, that the angel appeared to Joseph and explained to him what had happened to Mary, his betrothed wife, and that he should not divorce her secretly, but go ahead and marry her. For we read in verse 20, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And then comes the prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. So the prophecy of Isaiah that had been in sleep for hundreds of years now woke and was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. We find down in chapter 2 of Matthew, when the Magi made their way to Jerusalem, and they were asking everyone, "Where is the King of the Jews? For we've come to worship Him." And the news got to Herod the king, and he sensed a rival. He sensed competition. So he called the chief priests and the scribes and inquired where this king was to be born. And in chapter 6, they quote the prophet from Micah and said, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And so the prophecy of Micah 5:2 would now awaken and be born as Jesus, who is the bread of life, would be born in Bethlehem, which means the house the bread of life is going to be born in Bethlehem, which is called the house of bread. And so we find an incredible analogy between where Jesus was born and the very mission that he would fulfill as the bread of life. And then later on in chapter 2, in verse 15, we read that Joseph was warned by an angel to leave Judah and to go live in Egypt. And then an angel came to him in Egypt and told him it's now time for him to come back. But if you notice in verse 15, it says, "He remained there until the death of Herod, and this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And so here we find a prophecy from Hosea chapter 11, where Jesus would be called out of Egypt, just like Israel of old. But Jesus is the new Israel. He is fulfilling really many of the life experiences of the nation of Israel as he takes their place upon the cross and dies for his people. And then later on in chapter 2, verse 18, when Herod goes out and slaughters all the babies who were living and had been born around the area of Bethlehem, we see where Jeremiah's prophecy is fulfilled in verse 18. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." We also read in the very last verse of chapter 2 that Jesus would be called a Nazarene in fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. So many of these baby announcements, these birth announcements, were really coming out of the prophets hundreds of years before the Lord was actually ever born. And even with the prophecy of John the Baptist was fulfilled in his birth as well. And what these little postcards, these little prophetic utterances about the coming birth of Jesus Christ would do is that they would launch a biblical avalanche of prophecy, which had seemingly been frozen in place, but now it comes rolling and thundering down into human history in a tremendous cascade to ultimately smother and bury the penalty of sin. And when these prophecies awoke, however, sadly, most men were absolutely asleep. Not even the chief priests and the scribes who knew that the coming Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, they didn't even believe it. They weren't even concerned enough to travel the few short miles to get to Bethlehem to worship the child. They didn't believe it. They weren't caring anything about the coming of a newborn king. They totally discounted it, just like many do today. So that the first baby announcement comes from the prophecies of old, which tell us of the coming birth of the Christ child, who was actually fulfilled in the gospel narratives. The next baby announcement actually comes from the angelic hosts. Heaven itself sends down their own heralds to come and sing and shout out the news of Jesus' birth. They kind of come like a singing telegram. You ever received one of those or heard about one of those where maybe if you want to propose to someone or you have a special event, you can hire someone to go to the office or go to the home and knock on the door, and when they open the door, well, then they'll sing out the message of whatever it is that you want. These angels came, as it were, like a singing telegram bearing witness to the very door of these individuals about the coming of this incredible child. I've broken down these references into two categories, those dealing with Gabriel and those dealing with other angels. Maybe Gabriel was a part of those too. But we know for certain that Gabriel appeared to Zacharias and also to Mary. In Luke chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, we find where Gabriel, starting in verse 11 down through verse 20, appears to Zacharias and tells him about the birth of his son, John the Baptist. He told Zacharias that he should name this child John, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, but that he would be the forerunner before him, before the Messiah, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So basically, the angel came down to give a baby announcement to Zacharias, not only of his own child, but of the greater child who would be born 6 months later, and his child would be the advance guard to this coming child, the ground troop, if you will, to prepare the people to make way for the coming of the Lord. And so the baby announcement that Gabriel brought really was about two babies, the Lord Jesus obviously being the most prominent. And then in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, Gabriel appeared to Mary, tells her that she shall conceive by the Holy Spirit and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he will be the Son of the Most High and will sit on the throne of David and have a kingdom with no end. So the baby announcements are coming through Gabriel. He is telling Zacharias and Mary about the incredible event, the incredible birth. But this happened prior to Jesus being born. But in addition to Gabriel, there are other angels involved. For example, there's an angel of the Lord, as we've already read, that appeared to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, telling him about the child that Mary would have. That's an angel that brought that baby announcement, that this little baby would be given the name Jesus and he will save his people from their sins. You know what the name Jesus means? It means the Lord saves, or more accurately, Yahweh saves. And what the angel is telling Joseph is that you shall call his name Jesus. Now, many babies had the name Jesus, but this name would be literally true of this baby. this baby would be Yahweh in human form. Because the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. And then the angel explained to Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, for he, the baby, will save his people from their sins. Connect the dots, and the baby who saves and the name Jesus, Yahweh saves, is a clear teaching that the baby was Yahweh, a clear reference to the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, this angel again later appeared to Joseph in a dream, told him to go to Egypt. The angel warned the Magi in a dream not to return back to Herod. The angels told Joseph in Egypt that Herod was dead. It's time to return to Israel. And then, of course, we have the angel that appeared to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. This is one of my favorite baby announcements in all of Scripture, when the angel appeared to the shepherds. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Here they are watching their sheep out in the night. It's dark outside, maybe some stars overhead. And this angel appears, and it's like the sun suddenly bursts forth. And the glory of the Lord shines around them. It scared these shepherds half to death. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Another incredible expression. This baby is Christ the Lord in verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. Not the Christ of the Lord, but Christ who is the Lord. See, many people were the Christ of the Lord. Kings and prophets and even priests were the anointed. That's what the name Christ means, the anointed one. They were anointed of the Lord. They were the Christ of the Lord. But this baby is the Christ who is the Lord. He is God, again, in human flesh. The shepherds, of course, found their way to where baby Jesus was laying wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And prior to their arrival and before this first angel who had met them out in the fields watching their sheep by night, before this angel was through, a multitude of angels appeared praising God. Here's your singing telegram, if you will. Praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased." So after seeing this one angel, and then seeing the sky lit up with a multitude of angels, hundreds, thousands of them, then in all of this excitement, they go and they find the baby wrapped in cloths in Bethlehem. Where are the religious leaders? Where are the reporters from the Jerusalem Post? Where are the cameras? Where's the throngs of people, the dignitaries, that are there to worship the newborn king? They aren't there. They're ignorant. They're not interested. They have no concern. And even in Bethlehem, no one was interested. There was no room in the inn. None of Joseph's relatives could provide a room for Mary to give birth to the child in. No one cared. And it just reminds me how that same dead spirit is alive today. People engage in Christmas activities and Christmas celebrations, but they don't care about Christ. Maybe it's just a sentimental view of a baby and a mother, which are precious in and of themselves, but they don't care about the birth of the Savior. They don't care about the glory of the incarnation, where God becomes a man and takes to himself a human nature so he could die on the cross for our sins and be the only Savior of sinners. They simply do not care. They ignore it. They engage in all the other activities. But where is Christ? Where is the glory of this child? Well, he's forgotten. Only the shepherds are there on the day that Jesus was born. Why shepherds? Well, probably because this baby would grow up to be the good shepherd. And he would grow up to be the shepherd who would give his life to save his sheep. And probably that's why God called only these blue-collar workers. Very important men, shepherds were, but this basically average people who would come and fall down and worship the child. Never such an explosion of angelic activity in all of Scripture. You will not find any other event save the second coming where there is more angelic activity than at the birth of Christ surrounding the narratives of our Lord's birth. These heavenly reporters come with the joy of God in their heart. They come full of the glory of the Most God, the Most High. And they come representing God, bringing their baby announcements to selected chosen individuals that they could share in the glory of heaven, of what was about to happen. And the very explosion of angelic activity shows us that from heaven's perspective, this is an event of incredible significance and glory. Three times in the list of the verses we just saw dealing with these angels, they report that this baby would be God. To Mary, he's the Son of the Most High. To Joseph, his name is Yahweh who saves. To the shepherds, Christ who is the Lord. Three times they pound it that this is no one. Usual baby. This is not a normal baby. This is God in human flesh. Well, we find another birth announcement coming from none other than God the Holy Spirit, who not only inspired the prophecies of old, who waited patiently for their proper time and their fulfillment, who activated the promises to come to life, but he had been sealed up till now, if you will, but now the Spirit of God opens all the prophecies about Christ's birth and makes them sing out. How does the Holy Spirit tell us of the coming of Christ? Well, obviously, he overshadowed Mary and caused her to conceive in her womb so that this baby would be the Son of God incarnate. And really, that's the miracle of Christmas. It's the miraculous conception of our Lord. That's the miracle. The birth was ordinary. The conception was superordinary. The birth was natural. The conception was supernatural. That's where the real miracle was, the conception. By the time we come to the birth, the baby is now just coming out into the world. But he overshadowed Mary. He caused this incredible conception to take place. The mystery of all mysteries, where God unites himself with humanity and they are wed together forever. And this is the glory of it, that Jesus is both God and man. But the Holy Spirit is also active in many other ways. He comes and he fills the heart of Elizabeth when Mary comes walking in and when Mary greets Elizabeth before either of them had given birth to their babies. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God and prophesied a blessing on Mary. So that the Holy Spirit brings that baby announcement through Elizabeth and filling her, and she pronounces that blessing upon Mary. The Holy Spirit also was activated in the very womb of Elizabeth because baby John, now 6 months old, is filled with the Holy Spirit and leaps with joy in Elizabeth's womb. The Holy Spirit not only filled Elizabeth, but filled baby John in her womb, and he leaped with joy. The Holy Spirit also moved upon Mary to give the Magnificat. And though the Spirit is not explicitly mentioned, she speaks forth this praise to God as her Savior, no doubt inspired by the Spirit of God. And then the Holy Spirit filled Zacharias after John was born, and he prophesied about both John and Jesus. And under the inspiration and the filling of the Spirit of God, this is what Zacharias said about the coming Jesus, that his son would minister to prepare the way for Jesus. He said of Jesus, He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant. And then he went on and gave one of the most descriptive portraits of Jesus when Zacharias, filled with the Spirit, spoke of Jesus and called Him the sunrise from on high will visit us and will shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. I love that. One of the things we love to do in our home when we get up before the sun rises and we have windows that face toward the east, and we always love it when there's a beautiful sunrise, if there's a rich glow of red on the horizon, some beautiful portrait. A lot of times we'll call upon each other, hey, look out your window, look at that incredible sunrise that's taking place. And the picture of Jesus' ministry is like all of the earth is in darkness, a shadow of death, and men are sitting in darkness. And when Jesus is born, you see that initial glow of the light of God, the light of salvation, the light of glory. And as that child is born and begins to live his life, the sunrise from on high begins to dispense the darkness and illuminate all things with His light. It's an incredible picture. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking through Zacharias about the coming ministry of Jesus. Well, then the Holy Spirit moves from Zacharias. And 33 days after the birth of Jesus, when Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus go to the temple so Mary can offer her sacrifice for her own purification, and they can dedicate Jesus to the Lord, the Spirit of God comes upon this old man, godly Simeon, who had been revealed by the Spirit of God that he would not see death until his eyes had seen the Christ. And so when Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus came into the temple, this godly old man came over and took up baby Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God that he had seen the Lord's salvation. And he also described Jesus as a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then the Spirit of God is not through, because then he shifts over to Anna, this godly 84-year-old prophetess who lived at the temple night and day, serving the Lord with fasting and prayer. And when she saw baby Jesus, she was illuminated by the Spirit of God of who he was. And she began to bless God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who is looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So the Spirit of God ushers forth His own baby announcements in the way He filled and brought forth the utterances from these basically common and lowly people of the incredible birth and life of Jesus Christ. Well, the last baby announcement would be that came from the star. The Magi said, "We saw His star in the east." Somehow they saw this incredible star, probably a supernatural light. I don't think it was the alignment of planets. It was a supernatural light. They saw it in the east, and they recognized that it was His star in Matthew 2:2. They knew it was connected to the birth of the King of the Jews, and so they followed it, and they headed east. When they got to Jerusalem, they couldn't see the star, apparently, so they wanted more information. Where is the King of the Jews born? And of course, that's when Herod finds out from the chief priests and the scribes from Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that he'd be born in Bethlehem. So Herod goes out and tells the Magi he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Go find him, worship him, come back and tell me. And of course, we know what he had up his sleeve. And then the star appeared again. Before it was in the east, now from Jerusalem, it's in the south. And it leads them directly down to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. And not only that, it leads them to the exact house where baby Jesus is. They now move from the stable into a house. This is months later after the birth of Christ. And that light, the supernatural light, is like a traffic light, a green light, if you will, to come, follow me, it's time to go. And it just, it's a directional light that tells the Magi exactly where to go. Led them down the right street to the very exact house so that the light must have been positioned right over that house. This is not a star. This is a supernatural light that God sent. This is God's way of sending the baby announcement to the Magi to direct them right to the place where they could worship the baby. Well, on your outline, I have the announcement of the mortals. This is really the response of the mortals. Mary, in light of all these incredible baby announcements that come from heaven, Mary rejoices in God her Savior, praises God for the help he is giving to Israel in remembrance of his mercy. So Mary worships God when she finds out that she's going to be carrying and is carrying the Christ child. She praises God for the help that this child will bring to Israel. The shepherds, how do they respond? Well, you know, they went into the city of Bethlehem and they saw the baby Jesus. And then it said that they came back out to their fields glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. They worshiped the baby. They worshiped the Savior lying in that straw. The Magi who came later, who were not kings, but they were wise men. They were counselors, philosophers, astronomers, maybe a mix of all of it. But they were very godly men. No doubt they had studied and knew the prophecies from Daniel, who lived in Persia, and those writings no doubt still circulated. And godly men studied them, and godly men knew of the coming Messiah because Daniel prophesied of it. And when God showed them that that star was linked to that coming Messiah, they followed that star, and it guided them to the very place where Jesus was. And I love this. In Matthew 2, it says, when they entered the house, they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. And they presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the response of the baby announcements from heaven is that it caused worship of Christ. They didn't even exchange gifts. The only gifts they gave were to Jesus. Because Jesus was the focus. The baby was the focus. I think by worldly standards, this event was not important at all. Again, it wasn't celebrated except with just a few. There was no significant attention given to it among men. Very few people spoke of it. No one really had any interest in it other than Herod, and he just wanted to kill the baby Jesus. So that the event was totally under the radar among men, and only humble shepherds, some magi from the east, an old man and an old woman were the only humans that showed interest in these events. The world was not interested. Not even Bethlehem was interested. There was no room for him in the inn. None of the relatives, as I indicated, even provided a room. No one cared. And it makes me wonder about celebrating Christmas today. How much do we really care about worshiping Jesus Christ? There is no room for him in Bethlehem, but are you making room for Christ in your heart this season? It's so easy to get involved in all the gift buying, and I love the gift buying. I mean, that's a part of the way we celebrate Christmas. It's the only time of the year when my sock drawer gets filled up, so I like Christmas. It's a way we can share the blessings of God when we buy and exchange gifts with family. If you do that as part of your Christmas celebration, some do not, I know, out of conviction. But that's a part of the way many of us celebrate it. Some like to go out and look at Christmas lights, and we have different activities that we do in celebrating Christmas. But too often times in all the hustle and bustle, as we're all painfully aware, there's so much attention on the buying and the shopping, the looking, the celebrating with family and friends, that baby Jesus, the significance of what has happened, just falls under the radar. We don't focus on it. We don't talk about it. We don't read the scriptures about it. We don't celebrate and rejoice in the birth of Christ, because really that's what it's all about. And I think my exhortation to you this morning, as I make it to myself, is that we need to always try to put Christ in the forefront of Christmas. As I said, many didn't make room for Jesus. Many don't make room for Jesus during Christmas, because we so focus on the lesser gifts and we overlook the greatest gift that's being given at Christmas time. It's really not about what you're going to get, is it, kids? It's really not about what's under the tree for you. It's really about what God put on the tree for you. It's really about the baby that was born to die on the cross. It's really about God's Christmas tree, where the Savior was nailed and suffered the agony of all of the sins of His people, that we might be forgiven of our sins and spared enduring the wrath of God that we deserve, so that we can be forgiven. And all of the attention that we put today upon what we're going to get and what we have to look forward to totally misses the focus of all of the baby announcements that were given by God from heaven, that basically shout out loud and clear, look at the child. Look at God's gift. That's the focus of Christmas. Too oftentimes it's so hard to focus upon the real reason for why we celebrate Christmas. But this year I don't want you to miss the glory of Christmas. As you see these announcements, I want you to feel the amazement of the prophecies of God that were asleep for hundreds of years, but then awoken in human flesh and bone, sense the amazement of prophecy being fulfilled. Sense the excitement of the angels who came and declared and sang out the praises and the glory of this little child. Let that be absorbed into your heart. Sense the incredible presence of the Holy Spirit who came and filled chosen individuals to set forth praises about what Christ would do. Look at the glory of the light of the Star of Bethlehem and how God sent that traffic light to specifically guide the Magi to the very place where the baby was. Let that supernatural light, let the awesomeness and the glory of it fill your heart. And then worship the Savior in the exuberance of the shepherds, in the mind-boggling amazement of the Magi that moved them to travel 1,000 miles to come and worship that child. And let them remind us that it's not about what we give to brother and sister or mom and dad or child or any of those gifts. It's about the gift that God has given to us. That's the focal point. And as Simeon and godly Anna worshiped this newborn babe, may our hearts sense the glory of what Christmas is all about. This is the most important baby announcement ever, and it was not designed to be a one-time event. What the prophets told us in advance, what the angels declared, what the Holy Spirit filled and inspired people to say, and what the star did in guiding people to the very place where the baby was. This is a message that needs to keep on going. It needs to continually be reread and preached and proclaimed that Christ has come. That the baby was born to die, because you can never separate the birth of Christ from the death and the resurrection of Christ. We need to keep spreading the good news The baby announcements need to be regenerated, if you will, every year and proclaimed every year and shared every year and shouted every year and sung every year that Christ has come. And that we need to put Christ as the focus, because that was the focus. And everything else is just extra. But Christ is the reason why we come and celebrate the birth. Let's keep spreading the good news that Jesus Christ is born. All those great baby announcements are designed to be perpetual and ongoing, not just one-time events. So as we prepare to celebrate Christmas and enjoy those gifts that loved ones have shared, let us remember that the greatest gift is Jesus Christ, and that's the gift we certainly want to put in the forefront of all of our celebrations. Well, I want you to grab your hymnal, please, and open to number 224 as Dwayne will come and lead us in our closing hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, as we continue to spread the good news about the birth of Christ.